Psalms verse chapter 85. I'll read one verse there, very familiar verse. And the Bible says, whenever we found our spot, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, wilt thou not, it's pretty simple, right? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, that's a pretty simple statement, pretty profound statement when it comes to the matters of revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I like the word again there, because that means it had happened one time before, at least. So, it has happened here, but we need to charge the Lord as He charges us tonight. Wilt thou not revive us again? I believe He can, do you? Amen. God, we love you tonight. We ask you, God, to help us tonight. We praise your holy name for your goodness and your mercy that follows us new every morning. We ask you, God, to just help us and direct us in the way that you see fit. Lord, help these people in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been preaching on the preparations of desires for revival in 1 week, tonight I'll not only be talking about our church in specifics, but also the church as a whole. You know, the church as a whole in America and the country that we live in today, the church as a whole has been, it's simply been a falling away, if you will, as the Bible tells us that is going to happen. But you see, we've preached two messages so far in preparation to revival, and that was our guide for revival. And then this morning we preached on You Hear That Sound. Amen. I'm glad I can hear that sound a little ways. Amen. And as the days are soon approaching, I'm so looking forward to this revival in the next week. I really am. I believe we can all agree that most church folk are living in spiritual survival rather than spiritual revival. And I believe that we ought to quit surviving. There ain't a whole lot to survive around here, friend. But what there is to revive. We need revival in this nation today, and we need it bad. But have you ever thought why we're not having revival? Revival in our nation or in our churches today? As a matter of introduction, I believe that number one, it's because the people and people of the churches are satisfied. I believe that the people of the churches are satisfied. They don't need anything. We sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and there's little to no response. I'm talking about a church as a whole, friend. We sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I tell you, as we sing it and we sing it and we sing it, it becomes repetitive to us, and we become comfortable and we're satisfied in how we're living. Yeah, man, friend. I'm talking about all churches. You know, many are not concerned about giving. Yeah, man, that's the biggest commission God's ever given us, friend. Set aside the fact that we're supposed to go out to all the world and preach the gospel, then how are we going to do that? We're going to have to give. We're going to have to give. Many are not concerned about giving, friend. I know many churches around here that might have one missionary, but they're bringing in $2,000 and $3,000 a week. Anybody with me? Yeah, man. Listen, where's the money going? God did not call us to make a savings account, friend. Yeah, man, God called us to be on a commission, a mission for the Lord to reach souls and save them from a devil's hell, friend. And I tell you, wise is the man that winneth souls. Yeah, man, many are not concerned about giving. Many are not concerned about going. Yeah, man, they care less if anybody else comes to church as long as they get to come. Make sure they got a good seat. And if you sit in their seat, you bless God that I promise you, you're going to get out of their seat. Amen. Y'all know I'm right about that. Many are not concerned about going. Many are not concerned about growing. Amen. I believe that we've got churches in America today. The people are satisfied. I believe that the people in our churches today are spoiled. People are so easily offended today, friend. Yeah, man, people so easily offended today. They're touchy about the music. They're touchy about the message. Some want you to preach harder while others think you ought to shut up a little bit more. Yeah, man, they're touchy about the meeting. Well, the whole thing about it is some want it high, some want it lower. Some long, some short. It doesn't matter, but all I know is people's touchy about things today. Yeah, man, they're real touchy about things. They touchy about the membership. Can't get along. Can't get along. God help. Amen. The people in the churches are satisfied. They're spoiled. The people in the churches are sleeping. Yeah. Amen, friend. More disturbed about politics than about prayer. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, more disturbed about finances than their faith. Amen. More disturbed about retirement than revival. Amen. All I'm saying, friend, is preachers don't get revival. I mean, excuse me. Preachers don't get retirement much. Amen. I'm more concerned about revival. I'm ready for revival. Don't get me wrong. Retirement's good. It's great. Ain't that right, James? Retirement's great. Finances are great. And politics are awful. But I tell you one thing about it, friend, is what we need to be concerned with is our prayer and our faith and revival. More people are concerned about getting out of the house of God than getting in. Amen, friend. All I'm saying is, God, help us not to be this way. Sure, those are important things to be, but God, help us. God, help us. You know, we don't want to, if we don't get revival in this century that we live in, or in the 21st century right here at all, I promise you, we're going to lose all we have. Yeah. Amen. We're going to lose the chance of ever getting revival. Amen. Not only are they satisfied, spoiled, and sleeping, but the people in our churches are slipping. Amen. They're slipping, friend. Many are losing their focus. Many are losing their faith. Many are losing their fire. Many are losing their family. They could care less about anything but what soothes them. Amen. All because priorities are wrong. Amen. All because priorities. Well, let me just say this to that crowd. That'll impact their children, and they'll wonder one day why they can't get a prodigal out of the far country. Amen. I tell you something, friend. It's just Bible. That's all I'm saying this morning, this evening. The people are, the churches, the people of the churches are also silent. That's a problem. They're silent. We've quit praying in the services. I've talked to many pastors who say they can't even get somebody to come as they have gotten to a place. They can't even get somebody to come to pray before service. I know we don't do that around here, but I trust if we did, we'd probably have the same problem in some aspects. Yeah, man. All I'm saying, friend, is the whole thing about it. I heard a story not too long ago about a preacher a long time ago who was he was preaching. Said every Thursday night they would have a prayer meeting, and as they had that prayer meeting, it was a small prayer meeting nonetheless. But said that as he got there on this certain Thursday night, he walked in there and said he waited for 30 minutes and nobody showed up after the time, and said he waited and he waited and he waited, and finally walked back there to the back side of the church and rung the bell and rung the bell and rung the bell. They said it was a custom in that time that when they rung, that preacher rung the bell in that specific church, that it mean that somebody died, and they all would gather to the church to as the custom for that person that has died in memory of their loss. Said that preacher walked back there at that prayer meeting and rung the bell, and said all kinds of people began to gather in and started ask the question across the town, who is dead? Said that even some of his own membership began to come to the church, and said that they met him as he was coming down the steps of that church, and said that he was coming down, and they looked up at him and said, Pastor, who is dead? His response was, this church is dead. And at that point, he resigned his pastorate. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a real story. And said, so all I'm saying, friend, is that's what is the problem today. The problem is people quit praying in services. Pastors are getting discouraged left and right because people ain't showing up. Amen. We've quit praising in the singing. Amen. We've quit praising in the singing. We sit and stare when we ought to shout and sing. Yeah, man. All I'm saying, friends, we ought to get excited when it comes to the things of God. When we sing on I'll Fly Away, one day we really are going to fly away. When we sing about when we all get to heaven, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. That's the first words of it. All I'm saying, friend, is when we sing those songs about victory in Jesus, we can shout because we got victory in Jesus. When we sing the songs about amazing grace, we can shout because we've experienced the amazing grace. When we sing that there is a fountain filled with blood, God. We can shout and sing about the fact that that fountain was for me. When we sing and shout, we can do this together, because that whole Bible book, that whole book that we hold in our hands as we're singing, is what you'd call a hymn book, H-Y-M-N, but it's also a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about Him, friend, and we need to get in this thing, quit staring and sitting, and shout and sing. Amen. We quit promoting the sermons. A preacher can have it all by himself. Everybody wants to ride the cart down the hill. Nobody wants to push it back up. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us not to get there. Not only are they satisfied, they're spoiled, sleeping, they're slipping, they're silent, but also the people of our churches are straying. Amen. They're straying, friend. They're leaving their Bibles. Yep. Amen. Leaving their Bibles, friend. That's the most important. That's the biggest God's gift that you've ever gotten given to you. I know that's a big lot of words mixed up together, but that's the best gift God could ever give to a child of God, is the Word of God. And if we don't care enough to get it off the pew, amen, then we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Amen. Leaving the Bibles, lowering the beliefs. Lowering the beliefs that we have today. Listen, we need to know what we believe. Amen. A living backslid. All we like sheep have gone astray. Is that what Isaiah 55:6 tells us? We've all been astray, but don't mean that when we get saved, we need to keep living astray. Amen. A living backslid. Losing our blessings. That's what happens. We lose our blessings. The people are satisfied, spoiled, sleeping, slipping. They're silent. They're straying. But also the people are sinning. Amen. They're sinning. No telling what goes on from Sunday to the next time. Amen. In a lot of homes today, it would shock, I believe, most of us if we only knew half. Amen. God help us, beloved, to live what we hear and live what we preach. God help me to live what I preach. Amen. I believe, so we see this is the churches of today. You believe this is the churches of today? I've seen it. What about us, though? Satisfied, spoiled, sleeping, slipping, silent, straying, sinning. Are we doing that? That's America's churches, but what about us? Amen. I'll preach on quick. Our need for revival. Our need for revival. Let's look at what revival involves this evening. Involves what it involves. Number one, revival involves a presence. The Bible says, there in our text, it says, "Wilt thou?" Who? Yeah, man. He said, "Wilt thou revive us again?" I tell you something. Revival involves a presence. He is approaching His presence. We ought to approach boldly to the presence of God. Without His presence, you and I are nothing. Nothing. Period. And we ought to approach His presence. He is asking for His presence. He is asking for His presence. Lord, help us to ask for His presence. Amen. It is a gift from God when His Spirit falls down on this place. Amen. He didn't even have to come here from glory world, friend. But He came here to die for you. And because He loved me. And the time that He comes down and falls across this church, that is a gift from the Almighty. Amen. He's asking for His presence. He's adoring His presence. He's adoring His presence. We should always approach His presence in adoration and awe. Amen. Always. It is a wonder that God is willing to show up for someone like you and me. Amen. Every time I need Him, He is there. I ain't got no problem in wondering, but He's going to be there, and I can trust in that this morning, this evening. Amen. We need to adore that. We need to adore that. What a great thing to have a personal relationship with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. We see revival involves a presence. Secondly, revival involves a prayer. Y'all know that, right? If it wasn't for the prayers of the righteous, we would never be where we are today. I think it's James, and it takes effectual prayer. James in chapter 5 and verse 16 says the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And can I tell you something here this evening? Is that word effectual simply means to pray more intently. It means to be efficient, to be mighty in, and to trust in it. Knowing that it will come to pass. When you pray, friend, I have the privilege to pray to one who can tonight. Amen. We need to call upon the Lord to send revival to a mountain valley. Amen. It takes the effectual praying. It takes effectual praying. Secondly, it takes earnest praying. It takes earnest praying. Luke in chapter 22, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he made a remarkable statement there in verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it was were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I know that's not why he was on the cross. That was why he was getting ready to go to the cross. He was in Gethsemane at this point. And he prayed great drops of blood. He was in agony, but the Bible says that he prayed more earnestly. You say, what was he praying? Us. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. You know, there's a lot of stuff about that stuff, friend. As Jesus was praying for you and I and praying for himself that the cup would pass from him. The cup of what? The cup of that his Father wouldn't look away from him. But also the cup that Jesus was a human like you and I are. Yeah, man. And we don't want to go for somebody else. It's hard to. It's hard to, friend. We need to pray more intently and more directive. Y'all know that, right? Amen. If we need it done, let's get in a place without distractions and call upon God. Amen. Let's do that. It takes effectual praying, earnest praying. It takes everyday praying. You say, well, I don't know if I could do that. I tell you something, Ephesians in chapter number 6, a familiar passage, as you know it probably. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And if we'd realize in this time and this hour, friend, that we need to pray, that is our biggest shield against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 there is talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And it does tell us that we got the Word of God. It tells us we got the Word of God. It's a sword of the Spirit. And we ought to use it as a sword. But can I tell you something, friend? Is that praying, we have to put all of the things that we have to put on our body to use as an instrument for God. Everything we have to put on has to be put on with prayer. Yeah, man, and we got to pray every day. Yeah. Amen. Remember, I've said it many times, 15 minutes a day is only 1% of your day. And that's something big right there now. That's something big right there. It takes up every day praying. I believe prayer is always put on the back burner as an inconvenience. It needs to be number one. Amen. Yeah, man. You know, that's the only way things get done around here, friend. Amen. If it's number one. We ought to get it number one. Amen. Revival involves a presence. Revival involves a prayer. Then the Bible says, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people. Revival involves a people, friend. It involves a people. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, right? All right tonight. If my people, which are called my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. I hope you call half of it. Listen, all I'm saying is it involves a people, people who are hungry. Hungry. We need some people who are hungry for God. I tell you something, friend. We are starving people. A lot of these churches around here today are starving because the man of God is not bringing the word of God. It's time to put some food in our people's mouths. Yeah, man, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, there as Jesus is preaching, there he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. He talks many times about being a filling process in Scripture. I know Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 18, I think it's 4 and verse 18, maybe 5 and verse 18, where he talks about the fact of, be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. He goes on and he tells us in many times in the book of John that he is the water of life. Anybody that come unto him, that you may drink of this water and it will just give you continual thirst. You're going to continue to thirst, but if you drink of the water that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. That's a filling process, friend. And I'm glad that I can be filled with the Holy Ghost of God and get into a good gospel service, get into a good godly service, and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you got to be hungry to get fed. You got to get hungry to get fed, because you ain't never going to eat when you ain't hungry. Besides JD. Yeah, man, he's the only one going to do that. But, I mean, you ain't going to eat much if you ain't hungry. You just ain't going to do it. And I tell you something, friend, you know, if we would, it's time to get hungry for the things of God. Yeah, man, people who are hungry, people who are holy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, 16, verse 16 says, "Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy." Can I just tell you something? That God demands holiness. The holy righteousness of God demands holiness from His people. Why? Why does He demand holiness? So what gets Him holiness? What does this? What does that? Well, let me tell you what it is. It's by the grace of God that you can live holy in any way. But He demands holiness because you are represent. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. I like to use the Bible around here. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. The Bible says we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You know what that word means? Representative. We are representative of Jesus Christ. And we ought to be that in this day. I tell you, holy living is godly living in this day, in this hour. I like what A.W. Tozer said some time ago. I wrote this down. He said, "We cannot afford to let down our Christian standards just to hold the interest of people who want to go to hell and still belong to a church." That's true, friend. We cannot let things down for people who want to go to hell and still have their membership inside of a church. It's time. It's time to be holy people. We are called out people. We are a called out, chosen, peculiar people of jewels by the splendor of the Almighty God. And we are ambassadors to Him. Yeah, man. Listen, friend, God demands holiness. People who are hungry, people who are holy, people who are honest. People who are honest, friend, in this day, in this hour, in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 4, I like this verse right over here, so I'm going to turn over there and read it. I probably could quote it, but I'm not going to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, then verse 12, it says, "That ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." We need some honest men and some honest women in this day. We need honest people in all things to be honest. Yeah, man, you know, if it's a sin, it's a sin. Yeah, man. And walk in love and honesty, even to those who could care less what you have to say. To those who could care one lick what you have to say, friend. We need to be honest to them. Tell them hell's a place they're going to go. I'm not saying just go up to them and just say, "You're going to hell." I'm not saying that. Tell them the gospel first. Let the Lord tell them they're going to hell. But what you can do is you can, sure enough, do a righteous judgment on somebody. Meaning right is right and wrong is wrong. John 7:24 tells us to judge not upon the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Amen. And we ought to do that in this day and this hour. But what we need, revival, involves a people. It involves a hungry people. It involves a holy people, honest people. And what it also involves is people who are humble. We know that verse says, "If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves." Humble themselves. I can't remember. I need to study my Bible more, I guess. James in chapter number 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall exalt you in due time, friend. Oh, we went through this morning and we went through it all this morning. But God needs some people who are humble as to who they are and who he is.
Amen.
Less of me, Lord. More of thee. Less of me, Lord. More of thee. So we see revival involves a presence. It involves a prayer. It involves a people. I'm going to be done in less than 30 minutes today. Amen. If revival involves a praise. The Bible says, that thy people may rejoice in thee. I tell you, revival brings rejoicing. Y'all know that, right? It simply tells us it will right there. That thy people may rejoice in thee. If you'll bring revival, Lord, then thy people may rejoice in thee. And I tell you, it brings that. It gives us a reason to rejoice. Beloved, if we can't rejoice in going from barren to living, God help us to rejoice in him. From a barren, dry, thirsty land to a place of refuge, to a place of living, and those who are dead in Christ, ye hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin. He made us alive. He gave us a lively hope, 1 Peter tells us. And what we need to do is realize who we was, where we was, but where we are today, friend. And we can realize that we're a living hope of the blood that shed on Calvary. We're living this evening. We ought to live like he's living. Yeah, man, most people live like he's dead. My God ain't dead. His name ain't Bahamut or Baal or any of the rest of those. Confucius. Yeah, man, all I tell you something, friend, is that what we have is a living God. And we ought to live like he's alive. Yeah, man, it gives us a reason to rejoice. It gives us a readiness to rejoice. We ought to be ready. We ought to be ready to be in a state of rejoicing. Before revival comes, as we are desiring our revival, we ought to be ready to rejoice in him. With saints of all kinds that's going to walk through those doors, maybe some sinners too. We invite them too, amen. We ought to be ready. It gives us a readiness to rejoice. It gives us a right to rejoice. Amen. That's not something that gets said a whole lot, is it? Think about that. The day that we live in today, we ain't got no right to rejoice. That's what they say. Right? I don't care what the news say. I don't care what the media says or anybody else says, friend. When we come here next week, when we come here right now, when we come here last week and the week before that and that and that and that and that, we ought to come here to worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, because you and I have the right to worship, COVID or no COVID. We have the right to get in here and worship the King of Kings, friend, because the whole thing about it is when we come in here next week, what we ought to do is we come in here and we do every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We come in here, we set aside what was out there and use our God-given right to worship him. The right that you have fought for and you have fought for and you have fought for and whoever else you have fought for. In this day, we have the right to worship God. And we're going to keep on doing it. Come what may. Come hell or high water, they can come and do whatever they want to do. But friend, I tell you right now, there is plenty of wilderness to worship the Lord. Amen. Yeah, man, I like that. Preach that all day long. Plenty of wilderness to worship the Lord. Hey, we can do it in this time. Revival involves a presence. It involves a prayer. It involves a people. It involves a praise. And lastly, it involves a purpose. It involves a purpose. Verse 9 here, the Bible says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Glory may dwell in our land. Listen, we need the miracles of his glory among us. The miracles of his glory among us. Luke in chapter number 2 and verse number 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Let me just tell you something about that thought, okay? It's what the Lord kind of gave me as I was reading that verse. Here's a thought for you. The glory, they come to see the Lord, and they saw the glory of the Lord. The baby was in the manger, but the glory of the Lord was all around. Yeah, man, it's amazing thought to think about. Is that's the God of heaven laying in that manger, the wonder of wonders. As she looked down and smiled, that was her maker as well as her child. That's something that we live with today, that the God of all the universe has come down and will meet with us and show His glory to us. And all we need is the miracle of His glory amongst us. We need that. Truly, we need His glory among us, friend. You know, in the New Testament, I also notice, I've studied over the whole Bible, but one thing in the New Testament, I study a lot more in the New Testament, is there's one thing you'll notice is that when the glory of the Lord shone down, every single time that it shows down, it always led up to honor and worship. Always. Every single time that His glory showed up, there was honor and worship involved. Think about that. I don't know about y'all, but I think we ought to worship Him so His glory can show up some. God's glory don't show up a whole lot to a dead church. Yeah, man, God ain't going to move amongst dead bones unless He's going to make them live again. That's the only way. That's the point I'm making there. I know. People are going to say Ezekiel chapter 37, He rose up those dead dry bones. Friend, He can do it again. Yeah, man, He can do it again, and He will do it again. But I tell you something, when God moves in on the dead, they ain't dead no more. You say, that's not Bible. Look throughout your whole Bible and see if you find that's Bible. Yeah, man, when God moves in, friend, people made alive. They ain't dead anymore. I mean, you can look at Lazarus wasn't dead after God raised him. Yeah, man, all I'm saying, friend, is those dead bones, those millions of dead bones that Ezekiel was preaching to and told him what God had done, told him. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord. And he got in there and he preached to them people. He didn't whisper to them. He preached to them, friend. And he told them dead bones to raise up. And he told them, and then all of a sudden, somehow or another, those bones came together, bone to bone. Sinews grew up in them. Brain come up in them. All the good stuff, flesh rose back on them. All the stuff come back on them. And they became a mighty army in the valor of the Lord. Friend, I'm telling you, we can raise up a great and mighty army in this place. But it's going to take the glory of God coming down amongst us and raising up dead, dry bones. It's going to take it, friend. I know for the first part of this, as I took this church, as the Lord led me, I guess it's been a year and a half or so, as we took this church and all that kind of stuff, I'll be completely honest with you, friend. This church was about dead. Yeah, man, it was about dead. I mean about going under the water, drowning dead. But God showed up. And when God shows up in something, He can make it alive. Amen. It's not something I did. I just obeyed the Lord. But there's something about it, friend, is He can make dead things live again. It's amazing what God can do, how He can make things dead live again. I'm not saying that that puppy you lost, He's going to make live again. What I'm saying is that what God can do is something that's even spiritually dead. You and I can take something to the hospital after they have ceased life. Okay? We can do this. Sometimes, if it's the will of the Lord, we can do it. I know we're still giving glory to Him even in that. But we can take him to the hospital and they can put them shockers on. I don't know what they're called. Defibrillators, is that right? Anybody help me? Whatever them things are called, them shockers. They rub them things together and boom, boom, boom. And they get life sometimes. We can do that. Sometimes. But it's not the will of God. It ain't going to happen. But God don't need defibrillators, friend. He is the ultimate defibrillator. Amen. He is the one that rubs them things together and boom, there it is. You know what He has to rub together? His lips to speak. Because He speaks life, friend. That's what God does. Amen. It involves a purpose and we must see the miracle of His glory amongst us. And then Mark in chapter number 9. Mark in chapter number 9 here in verse number 2. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. and his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. Nobody else could white them like he whited them. Amen, friend. We must, in order with revival involves the purpose of the miracle of his glory amongst us, but it also involves the purpose of his manifestation of his glory amongst us. Manifestation. Friend, you know what happened that day? You'll read the same account in Matthew and chapter number 18, I think it is, chapter number 17, chapter number 19, somewhere around there. And you'll read that account, that same account where they went up there and Elijah and Moses came down and they met them there. They were standing in bodily figured and they were standing there and Jesus, what was on the inside of him, came out on the outside of him. And his manifestation of his glory fell down upon that place. Friend, it was so bad that the loudmouth Peter wanted to come up and he said, let us just put some tabernacles here on top of this mountain. We're going to put a tabernacle for Elijah. We're going to put a tabernacle for Moses. And we're going to put a tabernacle for Jesus. That's stupid talk anyways. He's putting Jesus in the same realm as them. It ain't going to happen. But the fact is as they were standing up on top of that mountain that day, the manifested glory of Jesus Christ came out of the inside of him and he began to shine all about, and Jesus outshined them all, and we got him inside of us tonight, friend, and if we would get in and the manifestation of his glory would come out of us, then we could make a difference in this world and outshine all the liberals out there. Amen, friend. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm glad about it, friend. Been talking to a person. I hate to always bring politics, but sometimes I just like to bring politics. Amen. All I got to say is that I've been talking to this person at work, and what this person is. I asked him the other day what church he goes to, because he said he went to a church, and he said that he goes to this UU church. It's this church that's in Tryon. It is called a Unitarian Universalism. Anybody ever heard of one of those? That's Tryon for you. You, that's your home. Amen. Anyways, this church there, you know, they ain't a Baptist church in Tryon. Used to be. They ain't no Baptist church over there now. There's a Lynn Second Baptist church. God, watch them Second Baptists. I'm just kidding. Amen. They didn't want to be the first because they didn't like them, so they decided to be the second. All I'm saying, friend, is that... Amen. All I'm saying is that there's this universalism or Unitarianism, universalism, whatever they are. And if you look them up, this is what they consider themselves: a liberal church. By the way, he is one of them Dems. He is. He does believe in everything. Don't believe in Noah's Ark. Don't believe in. I've went through so much scripture with him. But anyways, here's what we got to get to. The point that I'm making here is we have those so close to us. And if we, but they're shining. You know, they're shining out in this world. Oh, he's such a good person. Oh, this and all that and all this and all that. He does some good work. He does, sure enough. They ain't going to get into heaven. Amen. There's a lot of good people in hell. Amen. I've been witnessing to him, so y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for him. I've been witnessing to him for quite some time now. He does some good work. He does a lot of work within funeral homes and stuff like that. And when it comes to releasing doves and this kind of stuff, he does some of that kind of stuff. That's great. That's fine and that's dandy, but it ain't going to get into heaven. He must believe on Jesus Christ. He must believe on Jesus Christ, and he does all kinds of stuff. But I tell you is that as we talk and do all that kind of stuff, not one time does it come up about Jesus. That saddens me. Not from his lips. That's everything that comes up from mine. But if you look up that church, I've been doing some study on that church, so I have some more ammo, if you will. And this is one thing that church says. What literature do they use? Obviously, I looked that up. It says, none is needed, but what you prefer is what you can bring. Mm-mm. Nah, friend. It must be the Word of God. It must be the King James Bible and it must be the Word of God, because if it not, it must be trash. Amen. That's simple as I could put it, friend. Amen. It must be trash. All I'm saying is that revival, we must experience the manifestation of His glory among us. Then lastly, we must experience the moving of His glory among us. Now you say, I'm done. So if Exodus in chapter number 33. Exodus in chapter number 33, the Bible says, I'm trying to find 33. I believe it's after 32. It says there in verse number 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. There's old goodness passing in front of him, by the way. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. There's old mercy, by the way. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in. Thank God he puts me in the cliff of the rock. In the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Friend, you look at my back parts, it probably ain't going to be good. But you look at the glory of God's, it's probably going to be good, friend. There's something about that. And I thank God for that, friend. We must see the glory and the moving of His glory amongst us. We need the moving of God in this place tonight. We need it in this revival coming up. And if we could just experience these things, we would have revival on our hands. Amen. Amen. Revival involves a presence. It involves a prayer, a people, a praise, and a purpose. The purpose is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ.